A chilly night in December of 1888 is a day that many remember you by. On this night, you discarded your usual serious, quiet, and thoughtful personality by acting rashly and angrily in an argument with your roommate, mentor, fellow artist, and friend. You have since forgotten what it was you were arguing about. Maybe it was because you didn't agree with his art methods. Maybe he didn't agree with yours. Maybe it was because he never wanted to live with you in Arles, France, in the first place, and you were stressed that one day he would leave. You never seem to agree on anything. Whatever the reason, the result of the argument will greatly change your life. Sadly, your friend made a decision and your fear came true. He left for the night and checked into a hotel. It's difficult to explain what had happened, but you were overcome with many emotions. Anger, fear, sadness, and stress were prominent. It all overwhelmed you, and in a heated moment, without thinking, you picked up a razor and ran towards your friend, but he left before you could do anything. In frustration, you lifted the old razor towards your head and cut off part of your ear. A shriek escaped your lips as blood spilled out of where your left earlobe used to be. You softly ran your fingers over the blood and touched your ear. You should have felt something, but the adrenaline running through you made it so you didn't feel any pain at first. You were a madman. You later gave this ear to a girl, Rachel, whom you felt affection for. "Here is a souvenir of me," you had said. This is only one of several serious breakdowns that will lead to the most creative period of your life.
The Beard Club is back to introduce you to our newest addition called Growth Vitamin Spray. How does it work? The spray hydrates with essential vitamins, strengthens beard hair, and gives beard a smoother, softer feel and prevents beard drift. For more information, visit our site at thebeardclub.com and use our code BEARD with double B to get a discount on your next purchase.
It is May 3rd, 1889, and you are preparing to go to Saint-Remy, France. Cutting off your ear in a fit of rage led you to this day. Since your mental health had recently been deteriorating, your doctor strongly recommended going to a mental asylum in Saint-Remy. It would be reasonable for you to feel upset or nervous, but you do not. You are not against this idea. In fact, you feel very optimistic about it. Most of your life, you had been in a low mental state, but after a while in this asylum, you may break through. You thought that a few months, or maybe even weeks, in the asylum would resolve your internal conflicts and emotions. When you arrive at the asylum, you begin to notice something about the madness within you. A change in surroundings should do you good. After arriving, you feel even more optimistic than before. The room is small and greenish-gray, with seafoam green curtains decorated with a red rose pattern. There is also an armchair in your small room. There are many empty rooms in the asylum like this one, and the director allowed you to use an extra room as your studio. Spending time in the asylum helps improve your artistic capabilities. To distract your mind from disturbing thoughts, you paint and draw. You like painting sunflowers because they're beautiful yellow color. They added happiness to your depressing thoughts. You painted these flowers many times while living in Arles with Paul. He was always impressed by your sunflower paintings, and that motivated you to paint them. It seemed to be the one thing you agreed on, but because of the fight you had that led to you cutting off your ear, painting sunflowers did not seem appealing. Luckily, there are many places around the asylum where you could paint from life, like the gardens, where you find lilacs and irises. One night, you even killed a rare night moth to paint it. It hurt you to kill this beautiful creature, but it was worth it in order to produce an equally beautiful painting. Writing to your brother helped distract your mind in the asylum. You told him everything. You wrote about art supplies and your experience in the asylum. You also sent him some of your artworks, which he always loved seeing. He didn't feel as optimistic as you did about the asylum, but he was glad to see you were still painting and drawing. The asylum was also the place where you created one of your most famous paintings. Early one morning, you looked out a window in the asylum that always offered you respite and noticed how beautiful the countryside was in the dark. "This morning I saw the countryside from my window, a long time before sunrise, with nothing but the morning star, which looked very big," you later wrote to your brother. The scenery was so mesmerizing that you decided to paint it. You didn't just copy the scene that you saw in front of you. You used your memories and emotions in the painting. You painted a church with a steeple that resembled the churches in your native home instead of the churches found in France, for example. You used many brushstrokes in a circular motion and applied paint thickly, not only to produce a visually interesting product, but also to reflect how freely the scenery made you feel. What you painted was an impression of what you saw and experienced. It was beautiful and magnificent, and you described it as much more alive and richly colored than the day. You titled this painting The Starry Night because of the morning star that brought beauty and life to the countryside. After a couple weeks in the asylum, you are still feeling optimistic and your fear of madness is quickly fading. The asylum presented you with some odd friendships. You witnessed other patients' friendships by hearing them reply to each other jokingly with incoherent sounds and looking out for each other during a breakdown. At first, the asylum seemed to offer a very approachable environment. It was discouraging, however, that you had no desire to do anything with ordinary life. You had no desire to see friends or be anywhere else. Even a couple months after living in the asylum, this discouragement never went away. You begin feeling hopeless and more depressed. Similarly to the night you cut off your ear, you start acting rashly and without thought, leading up to you trying to poison yourself by eating your oil paints. The director of the asylum prevented you from going in your studio for a while because of this. The farther you were away from your paints, the better, was what he had thought. You recovered from this, but it wasn't the last time you attempted to poison yourself this way. You felt hopeless and your mental state was not improving at all. After about a year in the asylum, you couldn't stand being here anymore. The change in surroundings was welcomed at first, but now it was bland and depressing. "The prison was crushing me," you wrote to your brother describing the asylum. Even your painting showed how drastically your view on the asylum had changed. In your early months in the asylum, you had painted beautiful flowers and scenery using colors that made you feel happy to reflect your optimism. However, you were now using dull colors, painting the seemingly long and infinite corridors in a muddy yellow. The painting showed a maze of hallways and doors that led to nowhere that reflected your feelings of loneliness and isolation. This painting perfectly depicts the prison you now saw the asylum as. You decided that you needed a new change of scenery. At your request, you were released on May 16, 1890, and moved to northern France. It was obvious that you shouldn't have been released yet because your mental health was very unstable, but you knew you had to get out of the asylum.
After leaving the asylum, you continued to paint. On July 27, 1890, about 2.5 months after you were released, you are outside painting on a warm summer day when all of your hopeless and depressing thoughts crash down on you. You shoot yourself in the stomach and eventually die 2 days later. You died broke, penniless, and alone at the age of 37. You thought you would be forgotten. This was not the case. Theo, your brother, was always supportive of your art and wanted your work to be remembered. The 6 months before his death was spent working to raise your profile. When he died, his widower, Jo, took over. She sold your paintings, loaned them for exhibitions, and published the letters you wrote to Theo. People found your life fascinating, and your art style became memorable and commonly recognizable. In present day, people still love your artwork, and people have even written books and made movies about your life. To this day, you are adored by many, and even inspire many artists. You may have died sad and alone, but you live on as a famous Dutch post-impressionist artist. You are Vincent van Gogh.